Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on!
Yes, sir! Good morning, family. Steve Langford in on the pregame show. Hope you had a terrific weekend. I know I did. We got a lot to get to today. We're just done with week two of preseason football. And the big talking point with the 49ers, who is going to be the backup quarterback? Do they keep two or three quarterbacks? What are they going to do with Brock Purdy and Nate Sudfeld? Well, we're not actually going to sarcastically talk about it. We are going to talk about it. That's going to be coming up at 5:35, plus some other notes around from that game. Dana White, president of the USC, was on that show with the Gronks and said that John Gruden had axed a deal for Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to go to the Raiders. I do want to share my thoughts on that. But we also got some baseball to get into, because although it was not a terrific weekend for the Giants, I just want to suspend big picture reality for just a segment. Okay, we always do this thing where, you know, we got to constantly watch this team, understanding that it might not go down the way that we want it to, most likely not going to end up with that wild card spot. You know, we understand that. But yesterday, I got to say, it was a hell of a game. I understand that they lost 2 of 3 to the Rockies. As a matter of fact, on Friday, I was at a barbecue spot during the Giants and Rockies game. And I was sitting outside, and in my view, I was sitting at the table, so the TV that was inside was in my view, and the TV had the Giants and the Rockies game on. After the guy on the Rockies hit a 3-run homer to make it 7-0, I'm pretty sure, because the TV was at the bar, and again, I'm outside and I'm watching it, so there's no sound or anything, and I'm not hearing how these guys are talking about the game. But as soon as the 3-run home run was hit on Friday, they immediately changed the channel. Clearly, the guys at the bar were frustrated with how this team was playing, and rightfully so. But yesterday, I want to focus on yesterday, as the Giants did win 9-8, but it wasn't just the fact that they won. But I want to focus on one player, and that is Evan Longoria. Now, Evan Longoria, going back to last season, prior to going on the 60-day IL, I thought Evan Longoria was back to being the Evan Longoria that we wanted him to be. Like, last year, prior to him going to the injured list after colliding with Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria's numbers were up. He was hitting upwards of 280. He had 9 home runs already to that point. And by the time he got injured, it was May. So you knew that he was on fire already. I mean, he was looking like an all-star on this team. Nobody could get him out. But then he went on the IL, comes back from the IL, doesn't look the same. Then you continue on to this season, has spent a couple of stints on the IL, and still didn't really look the same. But yesterday, this dude was in the zone. And when you're watching an athlete, when they are in that zone, my high school teacher back when I was taking sports psychology in Irvington High School in Fremont, shout out to Jay Jackson, but there was something called the OPL, the optimum performance level. And that's what Evan Longoria was operating in yesterday. Evan Longoria was 3 for 4. And let's just take a look at a couple of the highlights from yesterday, because he'd already gotten a run started as he got a single into center field. But really, it was the grand slam here, the one that broke the game open. The game was tied 2-2. And in the top of the seventh, Longoria comes up and first pitch cranks it to left.
Longoria to deep left field. Going back on it, Hilliard. It is gone! Evan Longoria hits a grand slam. The hit the Giants have been missing all weekend. 6-2.
Now, the problem is, it's not just a hit that the Giants have been missing all weekend. It's a hit that the Giants have been hoping to get since the All-Star break. Producer Sam Lubman, who produced the Morning Roast, has been doing the numbers for what the Giants are at, bases loaded. Pretty sure that they hadn't had a hit with the bases loaded since Bonte was back in Europe. Like, that's how long it had been since they'd actually had a hit. Now, granted, they've had maybe a sacrifice fly. Maybe they've walked a guy in, but they hadn't had a hit with the bases loaded in forever. And Evan Longoria gives them that 6-2 lead. Now, the bullpen, which has been an issue for a lot of this season, for really all of the season, the bullpen ends up giving up those runs back. The Rockies come climbing back. They tie the game at 6-6. So, holy crap, the Giants are going to give this one up again. Are you serious? They let Evan Longoria get a 6-2 lead, jump out to a 6-2 lead with a grand slam, and they tie it back with 6-6 as Randal Grichuk was the one who hit the home run in the bottom of the eighth. But then you fast forward to the bottom of the ninth, and Camilo Doval comes in. And on the first pitch of the bottom of the ninth, Evan Longoria does this.
Hampson, a big chopper off the plate. Longoria barehands it and got him! What a play!
Oh!
Now he's showing off.
Man, have a day. Have a day, 10.
Wow.
That glove's gold.
He didn't need the glove.
Credit NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Dave Fleming and Javier Lopez were having a lot of fun on the call there. But the degree of difficulty on that play, because there are a couple of things. One, he's already in the shift, so it's not like he's playing his regular third base position. Like, normally, when balls are hit like that, when there's a chopper that's hit his way, normally you're charging in down the third baseline, and your muscle memory, you practice those throws in practice. You practice those taking grounders. You know, the ones rolling down the third baseline when you're practicing against bunts, whatever it is. But that the degree of difficulty on that play, for how high that chopper was, and for him to actually make that barehanded and then rifling it over to first in order to get the guy out on the bottom of the ninth, that play was huge. Just, I don't think we can appreciate just how hard that play was. Now, Camilo Doval would end up getting out of that inning, and then they'd fast forward to the 10th. Tyro Estrada would end up getting Jock Peterson home, as Jock Peterson was the runner on second in the top of the 10th. So it's a 7-6 game, and the Giants end up making it an 8-6 game after Austin Wins gets on with a double when Tommy La Stella walks. So it's an 8-6 game in the bottom of the 10th, and of course, the Rockies yet again tie the game. It's 8-8 going to the 11th. And then in the top of the 11th, the Giants did something that I don't understand why more teams haven't done this with the runner on second. It feels like it makes sense to do this, but all they did was simply play small ball. Like, I felt that the advantage that, or the disadvantage of having a runner on second, was how easy it would be to score. Now, it seems like teams, the reason I thought it was going to be easy to score is because, well, you could bunt a guy over and then just hit a sac fly. But instead, teams try to hit the home run and try to get two runs when there's already a runner on second. It's like, no, when you get a runner on second with no outs, move him over with the bunt and then get him on third with one out, then the likelihood of him scoring is much higher. And that's what the Giants did at the top of the 11th. I don't understand why more teams don't do this, and I'm not going to act like I've watched every single extra inning game. Maybe more teams are doing this, but I don't see it a lot where all they do is lay down a sacrifice bunt and then get a sacrifice fly. That's exactly what they did with the first two batters. Then you get two outs, but hey, you already scored a run. Now, granted, Jock Peterson flew out, and then that's the end of the inning, but one run should be enough. And it was, because in the bottom of the 11th, as we continued to talk about Evan Longoria, there was a fly ball to right field from Lamont Wade, and there was a runner on second. Lamont Wade ends up throwing the dude out at third.
Fly ball, right field. Wade comes in now. He'll make the catch. Hilliard's going to tag. Wade's throw is going to go all the way there. Ooh. And the Giants think they might have gotten him.
Ooh.
Longoria swiped the tag. Hilliard took a huge risk. And the Giants are asking for a challenge.
It's Longo's day.
Game over. He got him.
Always bet on Longo.
Amazing.
And that would be the way that the Giants close out the game, and they win 9-8. Sam Hilliard was the runner on second. Should he have ran in that situation? It's a very aggressive style of base running. It's one where, upon review, I had trouble actually seeing how he was out. But nevertheless, it was still a double play, and the Giants would go on to win that game. Now, that's where I'm at for the rest of the season. I'm not, hoping for a wild card spot. If you look at the comments, it's like everybody is saying, you know what? I'm holding out every ounce of hope that I have in order for them to make a wild card spot. But you know what? Like, even if they get to the wild card, to me, and I'm done suspending the big picture reality. Now we're actually bringing it into play here. Like, the big picture reality is they could make that roster spot. They could make that wild card spot, excuse me. But the roster that they have, this roster is not going to be one that can take you deep into the playoffs. I don't know if it's one that can get you to the National League Division Series. You can go to the wild card game or the wild card games, go into the 3-game set. Maybe you can get 2 wins. But as you saw yesterday, you can get a big lead. You can get a 4-run lead going into the 7th. But this bullpen right now, it just can't be trusted. And something that you need in the playoffs consistently, you need a good bullpen. You need one that's reliable.
He cannot be trusted.
I just don't know who to trust in the bullpen. You know, at one point, I thought Dom Leone was that guy, and we went over it last week. After the month of June, from July till now in August, he has over an 8 ERA. Not too good. Not too good at all. Harlan Garcia, you'd think that he could be a guy, but Harlan Garcia, it feels like anytime he's on the mound, he consistently gives up runs. It was nice to see Littell back. You know, Zach Littell got a little shine there in the bottom of the 11th. Haven't seen him for quite a while, but he's back, so shout out to him. You got guys on the IL. It's just the way that I'm looking at this season right now is to watch for games like that. Games that are exciting, because games like that are the reason why you love baseball. Because even though the bullpen was frustrating, and there's plenty of reasons as to that you could look at a bunch of things going into that game, bunch of factors into that game, thinking, well, the Giants should have won that easily. It shouldn't have been a 9-8 ball game. But the way that it was, even in the second inning, that funky play with Ryan McMahon where Fleming and Javi Lopez didn't even know what was going on as the ball just went right through his glove, and they end up scoring a couple of runs in that second inning. Like, how about that? That was just, there was a lot of fun that happened in this game, a lot of good things. Headlined by Evan Longoria, and it was capped off by a bang-bang play at third that ended up in a challenge that went the Giants' way. So, there are fun games like that throughout the rest of the season. Again, big picture, there's not much to look forward to for me. So, we'll see what happens now. The easy part's over. Now you got a series against the Twins, then you got a series against the Padres after that. Both teams very good, obviously. So, if the Giants end up winning these series, I'd be interested to see how this goes. And coming up next, we will get to where the Giants are at within the wild card race, and we'll continue to talk about Evan Longoria. We'll hear some sound from him after the game. We'll even get some insight into that blonde mohawk and what the reasoning behind that was. So we'll get to that on the other side, but we'll also get to some football later on in the show as well. 888-957-9570 is the Comcast business text line and the phone number if you'd like to weigh in. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford in. Hope you had a great weekend. Now, did anyone watch that Game of Thrones prequel yesterday? Whew. It's heavy. It's heavy. What is it called? House of Dragon? I already forgot what it's called. House of Dragons, right? Yeah, House of the Dragon or House of Dragons? I'm looking it up right now. Just got to make sure. House of the Dragon. All right, there we go. Feeling good about it, though. Feeling very good about it. And that's going to conclude our HBO viewing segment for the show, because we got sports to talk about. Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Again, hope you had a terrific weekend. Now, I want to get to something from Evan Longoria here, because I'm going to play this again. Like, I don't even want to focus on the Grand Slam. Like, finally, someone did something on the Giants with the bases loaded. Like, finally, they got a hit with the bases loaded, and one that actually scored some runs. Not a sack fly, not a walk, not a bunt, but a home run in a grand slam. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the two plays on defense, specifically for Evan Longoria, because it was a, I'm not going to say it was a banner day for him, because a banner day would mean it would be a career day. But that was his best game of the season all around on both sides of the ball. Evan Longoria, you're going to, next year, when he's not on the team, you are going to miss him defensively, and I wonder how that's going to shake down. You know, if they try and sign a free agent shortstop and, you know, maybe try and convince him to move to third along with Brandon Crawford, kind of like a Yankees situation, except it's not exactly going to be Jeter and A-Rod. But it's going to be tough to replace him next year as far as his glove, because this dude is a Gold Glove caliber third baseman. And these two plays yesterday I want to focus on. This one at the bottom of the ninth to lead off the inning. Just unbelievable by Evan Longoria.
Hampson, a big chopper off the plate. Longoria bare hands it and got him. What a play.
Oh,
now he's showing off.
Man, have a day.
Have a day, 10.
Wow.
That glove's gold.
He didn't need the glove.
I said this to open the show, but again, the degree of difficulty on that play, and there aren't many plays in, there are a lot of plays in baseball that are aesthetically pleasing, and I'm sorry the way that I pronounce it. I always pronounce that incorrectly. Aesthetically, aesthetically, whatever. But I'm a professional. But Evan Longoria, in that play, like, when it's a barehanded play and the infielder is running in, you know, whenever someone bunts it down the third baseline and the third baseman is running in and it's barehanded and, you know, throws across his body to make that play, those are, like, to the naked eye, just those are beautiful plays to watch, right? But when it's like that, when it's a chopper and he's all the way at second, and it's not, you got to pick it up and throw it across your body as you're running toward home. No, this is one where you got to stop, you got to plant your feet, and you really got to use all arm. You got to use all arm in order to get him out. And this dude who was running, by the way, Garrett Hampson, this dude is no slouch. All right, he can run. So in every possible way, that play was unreal from Longoria. So that was awesome. But you also had the final play of the game where there's the runner on second, there's one out, it's Hilliard on second, and then there's a fly ball to right field where Lamont Wade makes the catch and the throw.
Fly ball, right field. Wade comes in now. He'll make the catch. Hilliard's going to tag. Wade's throw is going to go all the way there.
Ooh.
And the Giants think they might have gotten him.
Ooh.
Longoria swiped the tag. Hilliard took a huge risk. And the Giants are asking for a challenge.
It's Longo's day.
Came over. He got him.
Always bet on Longo.
Amazing.
So Longo with the tag, with the swipe tag, an awesome throw by Lamont Wade, put it right on the money, but it was an even better tag by Longoria because he's basically where the runner's legs are as the runner is diving headfirst into third. And in order to actually have the coordination to touch the runner before he hits third base, just unreal. Now, the challenge was really close. It was really close, but the game ended up 9-8. Now, Longoria had a huge part in everything. You know, Tyro Estrada, he had a good game at the plate. You know, got to give him credit. Austin Wins had a good game at the plate. You know, Wilmer Flores had the sack fly to take advantage of Lamont Wade and that sacrifice bunt that he had to bring the runner over to third. So there are a lot of guys there's a lot of players to look at and you know, point at him and say, you know what, that dude did a good job. But Longoria was the headliner, and he talked about that final play.
I mean, I knew I touched him, and I purposely put myself, like, out in front of the bag to be able to get his foot, hopefully, before he got to the bag. So, I mean, really the credit goes to Lamont. I mean, he put the throw right on the money, gave me a chance to put the tag on him. But, yeah, I mean, it was a matter – he's a pretty tall guy. I didn't know if he was actually touching the bag when I touched him, but kind of went according to plan.
It's a tough play to make. It really is. Like, I don't think we give – you know, defenders enough credit for those types of plays. But then he was asked, and he was humble about it, but he was asked, well, you got to choose between the barehanded throw and that tag at the end of the game. Which one did you like more?
Is there anything that sticks out to you? Like, what was the best
one? We won the game. I mean, you know, it was like we were up 6-2, I think, in the seventh, and they just kept battling back and battling back. So games like today, they're only really fun when you win the game. You know, if you have to come in here and weather a loss, it's not as fun. So, I mean, if I had to pick one moment, probably the barehand play on Hampson. That's probably that's a play that I haven't. I made a few of them, but none like that. You know, a guy that can run like that. I mean, it's really a do or die play. So it was a pretty cool play.
Hang on. Well, there are a couple of things with that clip. One, it took him forever to get to it. Like, it was a barehanded play. You know, you got to get out the way. Just glad we won. You got to get that team speak out of the way. You got to get that. I'm a team player. You got to get that out the way. Well, I'm just glad the team won. And explain that for 20 seconds, but really, it was a barehanded play. I knew that I made a sick throw on that. But my favorite thing about that clip is in the background, and to be honest with you, when you're in your car, you might not hear it the same way that I'm hearing it, but they have this EDM just in the background. Listen to the background music in the locker room. I like this.
Is there anything that sticks out to you? Like what?
There it is.
We won the game. I mean, you know, it was like we were up 6-2, I think, in the seventh, and they just kept battling back and battling back. So games like today, they're only really fun when you win the game. You know, if you have to come in here and weather a loss, it's not as fun. So.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Now the last 15 seconds, yeah, you want to say that barehanded play was your favorite. Like, I'll play that song for you on the other side, the one that they were playing in the background. That's how hyped up the Giants locker room was. And from the 925, what's up, nice guy? The Giants now have a 3.3% chance of postseason, according to Fangraphs. When do you think they'll throw in the towel and let some kids play? September 1st? Yeah, most likely during the September call-ups. I don't know. The way that the Giants talk, the way that you'd hear from guys like Dave Fleming, who joins the roast weekly, like whenever the wild card is in reach, no matter what the number is, they'll always say, well, you know what? We're this amount back in the wild card, so there's still a chance. So there's still a chance. And right now, the Giants are 6 games back in the wild card. 6 games back. So the way that the Giants are going to frame it is, well, 6 games back, you never know what can happen in baseball. You never know what can happen. 6 games back of that third wildcard spot. Right now, the 3 spots belong to the Braves, who pretty much have it on lock. Then you got the Padres and the Phillies, who are duking it out for the second and third spot. And then the Brewers are 1.5 games back there. Then the Giants are behind the Brewers. So they're never going to throw in the towel, but I do expect some call-ups to happen in September. I hope we get Kyle Harrison. That's the number one player that everyone's talking about. He's the number one left-handed pitching prospect in baseball. Like, I wouldn't see any reason why they should. There's no reason why they shouldn't bring him up. There's zero reason as to why. From the 510, House of the Dragon was excellent. Yeah, I thought so too. You know, except that there's the one scene. I'm not going to say what it was. I'm not going to be specific about it, but you know the scene that I'm talking about. I made the mistake of watching House of the Dragon at the same time as eating dinner. Not a good move. I should have remembered. That's a rookie mistake. I'm a veteran of Game of Thrones, all right? I've read 2.5 books from the Game of Thrones series. Took a while to get through the third one. Still not through it yet. It's been a year. So I'm a Game of Thrones veteran, all right? But I ate dinner at the same time as House of the Dragon. Not going to do that again. Dinner time prior to it. Dinner time is before House of the Dragon watching. Then from the 510, DJ. Hey, Steve, me and my wife Crystal are big fans of the show. Keep up the great work. Thank you. Thank you so much for that Monday positivity. Thank you. I appreciate that. DJ, your wife Crystal, shout out to you guys. All right, on the other side, football, football, football. We've got plenty to get to because not only did we have the Niners in their Week 2 preseason matchup against the Vikings, which Kyle Shanahan basically during the week says that these preseason games, he'd rather have joint practices. So I'm not going to lie, I'm watching that and I'm thinking, all right, well, I mean, if the coach doesn't like it, why should we? But still, we're watching it anyway. There are a couple of standouts from that game. And I do think that when you look at the amount of roster spots that they have and they're going to boil it down to 80 members for the roster, they're currently at 85 right now. Started the beginning of the preseason with 90, cut it to 85 last week, and now we'll cut it to 80 this week. Tomorrow is the deadline for that, so you're going to be seeing some news there. But there were a couple of standouts in this one, and I think that it has some bearing on what the 53-man roster is going to look like, so we will get to that on the other side. Couple of players were voted into the NFL top 100 from the 49ers, and those players being George Kittle and Nick Bosa. I don't care about the place. I don't care about the ranking. I don't care about any of that. But the cool thing about the NFL Top 100 is when you get other players talking about these guys. So we'll get to the sound of that. There's so much to get to. And then Dana White also on with the Gronks on ESPN Plus, claiming that Tom Brady and Gronk were set to go to the Raiders, but John Gruden axed that deal last second. We'll get to all of that on the other side. There's plenty to get to in the final half hour on a Monday. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford in with you. And I know I said going into the segment that I was going to play that song that they were playing in the background for Evan Longoria and when he was talking about the final play. But unfortunately, that song would take a little too long to edit for air. It's one of those things where I was trying to produce on the fly, and it just didn't work out. It's fine. You have a miss every now and then. But good morning, everybody. Hope you had a terrific weekend. Now, we will get to a couple of things regarding week two of the preseason between the Niners and the Vikings. Although, you know, preseason's tough to gauge, especially with a team like the Niners, where it feels like, you know, the 22 main guys that they're going to be rolling out there, the 11 on 11s, you know, with some extra guys thrown in the 53-man roster. I mean, it feels like it's already set. So really, guys are just playing for their lives on the 53-man roster for the most part. But there were a couple of standouts that I want to get to later on. And then also, this Dana White thing with Tom Brady. So Dana White, the UFC president, basically said that, they were close to having Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski signing with the Raiders. But then John Gruden said last second that it's not going to happen. Now, again, we've been talking about this Jimmy Garoppolo story, you know, where he ghosted the team or vanished from the team after the 2017 season, between 2017 and 2018, where nobody receives any text or calls. You could take that for what it is, but what we also need to take it as, it was 5 years ago, and this is kind of the same thing, where this was 2 years ago, but who really cares? But now, there's a couple of things that I do want to talk about, though, and that's the NFL Top 100. I know a lot of people aren't into the NFL Top 100. If you ask anyone, like a lot of people within the media, if you ask any radio host, you know, hey, do you have any interest in that? Like, the NFL Top 100 is kind of low-hanging fruit for radio content if you're just trying to go for the rankings. But I don't really tune in for it for the rankings. I couldn't care less about the rankings. I really couldn't. But I like seeing these players on there. I like seeing the videos of these players, and a nice little refresher going into the 2022 season for some of the top players at their position. Plus, you know, you learn about these. You learn about some of these guys who are tackles. You learn about guards. You learn about safeties, guys who you might not have heard of through the season. So I find it to be informative. But you had Nick Bosa and George Kittle that were voted in. They've been doing it. They've really been releasing them at random. You know, they've gone down from like 100 to 51, then 51 to 31, then 31 to 20. But Nick Bosa and George Kittle were both voted on there. Now, George Kittle was voted higher than Nick Bosa. But what I do like about these things is I do like when other players are talking about specific dudes in the top 100. I like hearing their opinions on them. And I like hearing Chandler Jones when he's speaking on George Kittle. Now, George Kittle was voted the number 22 on the top 100. Last year, he was 28. This year, he was 22. And George Kittle is just a monster. But Chandler Jones, who had faced him, you know, two times a season ever since he's been with the Cardinals, Chandler Jones had this to say about George Kittle.
Kittle, he has great hand placement. If he gets his hands inside, he'll pancake anyone. He'll pancake me if he gets his hands inside.
It's not like he's pancaking DBs. Not like this guy is pancaking D linemen, linebackers. It's amazing to watch. It is.
Like, it really puts things into perspective. Just listening to a guy like Chandler Jones say that, putting his hands inside, and then they're showing the clips, and it's just, I mean, these poor tackles that are trying to go up against him. I mean, excuse me, these poor edge rushers that are going against him. These poor linebackers, these poor safeties, whoever it is. George Kittle is a beast. Just an absolute beast. But it really wasn't the Chandler Jones one that was the highlight among the two, with Nick Bosa and George Kittle being voted in. Nick Bosa was also voted in. He was voted number 25. So three spots lower, technically, than George Kittle. The funny one to me was when his brother, Joey Bosa, was the talking head during the Nick Bosa video.
At this point, I'm so over competing with him. I just want him to do the best he can and me do the best I can. But I think he's going to be higher, which he should be. I mean, he had 15 sacks last year. Almost took his team to the Super Bowl, so I think he deserves to be higher than me. Last year, it was bull****, though.
Like, I just... The Bosa brothers are a couple of menaces. Menace-I, if you will. These two guys are monsters. They are scary. They will wreck a game on any given Sunday. They can make it a nightmare for your quarterback. And not only for your quarterback, but for your offensive line. And, you know, now that Joey Bosa is going to be opposite Khalil Mack with the Chargers, I mean, you know, we can't just say, oh, yeah, this is automatically the best pass rusher that he's been with. You know, you got to give some credit to Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram was a damn good player when he was healthy on the opposite side of Joey Bosa, but it was just a question of actually those two getting healthy at the same time. But they both sound the exact same. They just have the most chill tone of voice that I've ever heard in my life.
At this point, I'm so over competing with him. I just want him to do the best he can and me do the best I can. But I think he's going to be higher, which he should be. I mean, he had 15 sacks last year. Almost took his team to the Super Bowl, so I think he deserves to be higher than me. Last year, it was bull****, though.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think last year was BS, man. I just can't wait to get out there. I just hope he succeeds. I hope he wins the DPOY. Just super chill. Just super relaxed. But I do think Nick Bosa is going to have a fantastic season, and that is because of the defensive line that he's going to be playing with. Now, Eric Armstead, we still have yet to see him, but as we transition here, because we'll see with the rest of the NFL Top 100, I've enjoyed watching them so far. You know, Kyle Juszczyk and Jimmy Ward being touted there in the Top 100 as well. That was pretty cool hearing what those guys had to say about Juszczyk and Jimmy. But transferring over to the Week 2 preseason game between the 49ers and the Vikings, I got a lot to say when it comes to the offense and how the 53-man roster is going to shake down. But on the defensive side of the ball, this D-line has a chance to be unreal this year. Unreal. And from the 408, don't forget Fred Warner at 47. I apologize. But this defensive line, with the depth that they have there and with these guys healthy, like, this has a chance to be scary for opposing teams. It already has been. But Javon Kinlaw in this Week 2 game, in the reps that he had, he was taking advantage of the Vikings offensive line.
Kellen, shotgun, scoreless game, hit and sack. Javon Kinlaw trying to open eyes. He's supposed to be a big timer, and that was a big time play.
Look, man, he was a first round pick in 2020. He was the 14th pick in the draft. Obviously was hurt last year, and all anyone's really heard of from Javon Kinlaw in the offseason was that little live video that he had going, you know, against Grant Cohn. Like, that's really all that we saw this offseason. If you didn't see that, you're probably not on social media. And to whoever is out there that didn't see that on social media, I salute you. but Javon Kinlaw looked like an absolute beast on Saturday. And this dude, if he can turn into the defensive lineman that they want him to be, which, you know, you don't want to say, oh, he needs to be a replacement for a DeForest Buckner, but you're at least supposed to relieve some of that angst that comes with trading a guy like DeForest Buckner and letting him go. Like, so Javon Kinlaw and that sack, if he could do that, like, this front seven here is going to be unreal. Like, if you get your defensive line, too, and you can rush four, and the Niners continue doing what they're doing. They don't like to blitz. The Niners are always within the bottom five of teams with the fewest blitzes. They're always in the they're always right there in the bottom five. That's because they can rush with four, and that's what they like to do. But with the depth that they have at this D line, and on the opposite side, you had Drake Jackson making plays. Like, if you watch Drake Jackson on that Javon Kinlaw sack that I just played, watch Drake Jackson and the way that he's handling a double team. I mean, he's getting right by those guys. If Javon Kinlaw doesn't get to the quarterback, then Drake Jackson damn sure is. So you bring those guys in along with Ebukam. Charles Umenihu, he's shown flashes. He has size and athleticism. Kevin Givens is awesome. Kevin Givens is a very underrated defensive lineman. Kikomo Ture is a big-bodied guy, number 53. You're not going to be seeing him too much. But if Javon Kinlaw and Eric Armstead are up the middle, and you have Nick Bosa and then a rotating door, so to speak, of Drake Jackson and Ebukam on the other side, and then you could also give Nick Bosa some snaps off and just go out there with Drake Jackson and Ebukam, like, this is shaping out to be a pretty nasty D-line. And good for Kinlaw, too. Good for Kinlaw. That video went viral, I think it was on Friday, after practice, where he's walking by with his pads. This dude, I mean, we talk about Nick Bosa and the way that he looks for an edge rusher. The way that Javon Kinlaw looks for an interior lineman, I'm looking at this dude like, oh my God. It's just like, no one should look like that. Big dude. Big dude. He's cut, too. So, look, he has all the makings to be a stud in the interior, and I think that he can be. So I'm really excited to watch Javon Kinlaw play. But so far as the defense is concerned, not a ton of other standouts. Of course, they did have the interception early in the game, but I want to move to the offensive side of the ball because the offensive side of the ball really is where it's at. Nate Sudfeld and Brock Purdy are taking up everybody's attention, and it's just turned into, well, they need to keep three quarterbacks. It needs to be Nate Sudfeld and Brock Purdy. Now, they've already guaranteed Nate Sudfeld's contract. Brock Purdy, if you send him to the practice squad, then there's a chance that you could see him go to another team, because another team, if they're on the practice squad, another team can take him and sign him and possibly use him during the season. I don't know what's going to happen there, but the way that I'm looking at it is I'm not looking at the quarterbacks so much. You know, Brock Purdy and Nate Sudfeld, they looked okay. Drops hurt them. The drops from the wide receivers were not good in this game. Drops from the running backs, too. I know Trey Sermon had one. Juwan Jennings had one. Man, Nate Sudfeld with that throw to Tyler Kroft, by the way, the third-string tight end, or fourth-string tight end, really. I mean, this dude, he threw across his body, throws it to the sideline. I was like, okay, Nate. But it's not the quarterbacks that I'm watching. It's how the running backs are shaken down here, because this is where it gets interesting. Do you keep three quarterbacks at the expense of possibly keeping one of these running backs? Because this running back room here, you know, there's depth, but also I don't know if they have a solidified number two. Like, Jeff Wilson is supposed to be that guy, but we have to see if he can remain healthy. You know, Kyle Juszczyk is added into that backfield. So if you have Mitchell, Sermon, Wilson, Ty Davis Price, and the dude Jordan Mason, who balled out in this game. I thought Jordan Mason looked good. Now, granted, it's against third string defenses. He had 9 carries for 57 yards. Ty Davis Price is a third round pick. You're most likely going to be keeping at least those guys. But the question is, do you want the extra quarterback? Are you worried about possibly missing him? Or do you worry about possibly missing a running back in Jordan Mason, who, you know, last year, the reason that they used Debo Samuel in Week 10 is because the running backs were hurt and they didn't have any options to go to. You know, so I don't know about Trey Sermon. I'm thinking that he's just going to remain on the roster because he's a Kyle Shanahan guy and they traded up to get him and he's a third round pick. So really just by that, you're going to say, yeah, all right, well, he's probably going to be on the roster, but he hasn't really shown much. Again, with a pretty weak outing, he only had 5 carries for 8 yards. I think he had 6 for 11 in Week 1, but I think they're going to keep him on the roster anyway. So I'm watching out for whether they keep three quarterbacks at the expense of one of these running backs, who I think, I mean, if Jordan Mason is on the practice squad, maybe you can keep him there. Maybe you could stash him there and no team would sign him. But personally, I'd rather just keep two. It's what the 49ers have always done. You know, and if they have to go with the backup quarterback and you got to go with your third stringer, possibly, if all goes horribly wrong, like if you have your third string quarterback in, if you have a third quarterback in due to injuries, then, I mean, I'm sorry, but where is your season really going to be headed? You know, and I, you know, I could be looking at the that the wrong way. The reason that they've kept two is because, well, you have Jimmy Garoppolo there, who's your starter. Trey Lance, obviously, last year. But I think they should just keep two this year. You know, I know you guaranteed $2 million to Nate Sudfeld, so you don't want that money going to the practice squad. There's no guarantee that Brock Purdy would be signed by any other team, so I'm thinking you keep those two as the quarterbacks, Trey Lance and Nate Sudfeld, and then you keep six running backs total on your team, which includes Kyle Juszczyk. From the 415, Cut Sermon. I he's not really making much of a case to stick with this team. Special teams would be a thing. You know, Ty Davis Price looked good. Ty Davis Price had that run to the right where he is just bumping into dudes, trucking guys. Like, that dude has a motor. That's what you want in a running back. Ty Davis Price looking every bit the SEC running back that they got in the third round. I think he's looked good so far. You got depth at running back. I'm curious to see how it's going to shake down with the 53-man roster. The thing about this, though, is the offensive line, I don't want to make any snap judgments based on the line and what they've done in preseason games. There's going to be ups and downs with the offensive line. You kind of just have to come to terms with it. Although Mike McGlinchey is, he just got a plasma injection, which has nothing to do with last year's injury, but he just got a plasma injection in his knee, so he's going to be out for the foreseeable future, probably not going to play in the third preseason game. So right now you're going with Colton McKivitz at right tackle. But Aaron Banks, Jake Brendel, and Spencer Burford, it looks like those are going to be the guys up the middle, whether you like it or not. There's going to be some ups and downs. There was some good and there was some bad. Jason Poe was a guy who showed out in this one. I think Jason Poe is making a case to stick with this team. Jason Poe, we love Jason Poe. Jason Poe, 6'1"? Come on, a 6'1 lineman? You always root for guys like that who aren't the typical size of an offensive lineman, the typical height, rather. Then you look at the opposite side. Then you look at the tackle, Alfredo Gutierrez, who ended up getting the game ball. The dude is 6'9 and got his first snaps in an NFL game. Really cool story, but you know, the sad part is it's most likely just going to end up that he's, you know, cut from the roster. Maybe not this week, but I don't think he's going to make the 53-man. So that's really the takeaways from week two of the preseason. There's only so much you can look at. But from the weekend, this was the big news that surfaced within the NFL. Dana White, president of the UFC, was on with the Gronks. I guess the Gronks were doing a watch party during the UFC event over the weekend, the main event, Usman versus Edwards, just an unreal upset by Leon Edwards. Just holy cow, man. I didn't even see it. I thought the fight was over. There's like 40 seconds left in the fight. I look up. I have it on the small screen because I, you know, paid for it. I had it on the small screen and I look up and then I look down and all I see is Edwards walking off as Usman is on the ground. Couldn't believe it. But this is the video that surfaced from that. Dana White saying that Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, a deal to the Raiders was done, but John Gruden said no at the end?
I didn't want to talk about that, no, but he sort of sucked me into it on live TV. Yeah, it's true. I talked Brady into playing for the Raiders, and Gronk was coming with him. And they were negotiating the deal, and they were really close to getting it done. And then Gruden pulled the deal, and Brady was not happy about it. Neither was I, and that's that. He went to the Buccaneers and won the Super Bowl. I don't box there. I wanted Brady. It's true. And I thought that I would never tell that story publicly. What the hell Gronk was doing tonight that he brought that up. It would have been amazing for the city and would have been amazing for the Raiders. I mean, their first year there, they got Brady and Gronk, you know?
Okay, so a couple of things. That was from ESPN Plus. That was Dana White. Couple of things. How is Dana involved? I don't get that. Like, why is Dana? I know Dana is based in Las Vegas. But how is he? I'm sure there's a management group that's there or something. But Dana White, that was just random. And John Gruden didn't strike me as the type who would just say no to Tom Brady and Gronk. There had to be other circumstances surrounding that. But also, when it comes to these conversations and Tom Brady going to these different teams, there are four teams other than the Buccaneers who wanted him. The Chargers, the Titans, the Niners, and the Raiders. Those were the four reported teams that were close. You had the Niners video, the book that was written, excuse me, from Seth Wickersham of ESPN, writing that book about the Patriots, saying that Kyle Shanahan and his staff had watched every throw of Tom Brady's and every throw of Jimmy Garoppolo's in 2019 and came to the conclusion that Jimmy Garoppolo was a better fit and they wanted to move forward with him. You know, the Raiders, they did what they did in 2020. But here's where I'm at whenever these conversations come up. The Buccaneers made it easy just to say, oh, if Tom Brady would have come to our team, that we would have won the Super Bowl just because the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. But I am fully convinced after hearing this, and this is always what I think whenever there's a report that pops up that Tom Brady was close to going to the team. I'm like, outside of the Bucs, I don't think Tom Brady's winning a Super Bowl. With those other teams, with the Chargers, with the Titans, maybe the Titans, but not with the Niners and not with the Raiders. The Niners, they had a lot of injuries come their way that year. Now, if you want to take injuries out of it, fine, but the offensive line wasn't as good. I'm not fully convinced that he would have won a Super Bowl outside of the Buccaneers. So this, when I saw it, it made the rounds, and you know everyone's talking about it on social media. But you know what? It's not as egregious as the mistakes that John Gruden has made in the first round of the draft. For pretty much every year outside of Colton Miller and Josh Jacobs, every draft pick that he had, Henry Rust will consider Henry Rust or Henry Ruggs, excuse me, not Henry Rust. Henry Ruggs will consider him, you know, an outlier. But none of these first round draft picks have been any good. Then you had the emails on top of it. You had the trade of Khalil Mack. There are far more egregious things that John Gruden's done than possibly not let this deal happen. I'm telling you, if Tom Brady, if he went to any other team, there's no, I don't even know if he's going to be still in the NFL right now. Is he going to remain in the NFL after losing, possibly losing out a season and not making it to the Super Bowl? Winning a Super Bowl does things, man. It changes these guys' opinions and mindsets. So, I don't know. I saw that over the weekend. Just wanted to play it for you and share some of my thoughts to close out the show. All right. From the 925, it's an Omaha production show like Manning Cast, but it's the Gronk Cast for UFC. Just so much cackling. All right. On the other side, Bonte Hill and Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky are coming up next. Thank you so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.